بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. A warm welcome to another live edition of Living the Legacy. My name is Rehana Omar, and it's always a pleasure, it's a blessing to spend this hour with you, our Radio Islam family, to connect to you, to learn with and from you. Today on the program, we have plenty in store for you, lots for us to reflect on and to learn from, inshallah. Islam is so beautiful that there's always something new for us to learn each and every day. Not only learn, but to apply as well. On the program today, we'll be continuing with our journey, our Quranic appreciation of Surah Ar-Rahman. And today, we continue understanding more about verses 17, 18 and onwards. Depending on time, we're trying to cover the verses as best we can, inshallah. Share with you the meaning, the message of the ayat of the Quran. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling you and I. What are the lessons and the messages that we can draw from the Quran, inshallah. A reminder again for those of you that are memorizing Surah Ar-Rahman to send me your sisters, that is, to send me your voice notes. Many of you have been doing that each week, memorizing as we learn Surah Ar-Rahman, as we understand what Allah is telling us in the Surah. You've been sending me your voice notes, mashallah. If there's any of you that I haven't corrected your voice notes, please drop me a note, a message, so I can follow up on it, inshallah. So I will be doing today's program, and then inshallah, I will be on leave and be returning to you live on Thursday, the 27th of August. So there won't be a live edition of the program next Tuesday and the following. The next live program will be on the 1st of September, inshallah. And then I look forward to continuing the journey with you. But for now, please continue sending me your voice notes and sharing with me, are there any challenges you face while learning Surah Ar-Rahman? Any difficulties with the tajweed or the hifz? Drop me a note. The WhatsApp number, +6013-260-8592, or the email address, Raihana, R-A-Y-H-A-A-N-A-H at gmail.com. But to begin the program today, we're going to focus and turn our attention to our theme for this month at Radio Islam. So we present to you our promo, and thereafter, head on straight into our theme.
This August, Women's Month, Radio Islam highlights issues related to female empowerment. Unlike persistent stereotypes about Islam's oppression of Muslim women, the lives of Muslim women have and still provide viable tools to empower Muslim women in so many ways. Having thrown off the shackles of colonial imperialism, Muslim women are increasingly growing resistant to cultural imperialism marketed by the West, even in the form of feminism. Islam is the answer to global inequality and gender injustice. Stay tuned to our morning and evening drive time shows, wherein we unpack contentious issues and between 10 a.m. and 12 a.m. to hear about female pioneers who are more than mere history lessons. Monday to Friday, 10 to 14th August. Hashtag RIY Women.
That's right, our current theme, and you can always tweet us with the hashtag RIYWomen. Now, there are so many women of the past that have made incredible impact on the world and have left their footprints in the sand of time and allowed us to draw from them inspiration, courage, strength and lessons by which we can live by. Today I'll be talking to you about a lady, a woman that lived during the Abbasid Empire. And she was born 170 years after Hijrah in the year 786 AD. I will, of course, be doing the Quranic appreciation of Surah Ar-Rahman, and that comes up shortly. But first, let's turn our attention, our focus to this great woman of Islam. Now, the Abbasid Empire, that period was not documented like that of the prophetic time. So there are no hadiths or Quranic references or stories not found in many Islamic books. But I'm going to share with you research on the most legitimate sources of the Abbasid Empire, inshallah. And I hope that it will be a proof, a testament, an example and a catalyst for you and I to realize that all throughout history, we have had extraordinary Muslim women. Queen Zubaydah bint Ja'far al-Mansur. Zubaydah bin Ja'far al-Mansur was born in 170 AH, that is 786 AD, during the time of the Abbasid Empire, an empire that lasted about 508 years and stretched from the Atlantic Ocean to China. The Abbasid Khalifs were all descendants of Ibrahim alayhi salam, and they were the ones that brought about the Islamic Golden Age during the 8th century. This was a time when the Muslim world became the intellectual center of art, philosophy, medicine, science, architecture and engineering, commerce and education. It was an era of great advances in technology and culture. The Muslim world was the source of knowledge, not only because of the advancements made during this era, but because the Muslim scholars used to translate classic and historical works into Arabic, Persian, Turkish, Hebrew, and Latin. If it were not for these translations, these works, some of them of famous Greek philosophers, would have been lost. Zubaydah bin Ja'far al-Mansur played a great role, and she was born in this time of productivity and advancement. She lived during and after the time of Imam al-Shafi'i. Growing up, Zubaydah's grandfather considered her education a top priority and allocated the best teachers and scholars for her. She was very intelligent and loved to learn. She was especially attached to Quran, Hadith and Arabic literature. She married Harun al-Rashid, who was the fifth Khalif, the Abbasid Khalif. So in total, there were 38 Abbasid Khalifs. As a queen, Zubaydah was eloquent in speech and she received great respect and admiration from the people. She was the most powerful and wealthy woman in the world at her time. Her husband, Harun, the Khalif, would always seek her advice concerning all matters, and she was known to always provide him with valuable and wise decisions. Of her many talents, Zubaydah was a poet, and she used to enter many competitions. She allocated large amounts of funds for poets, literary figures, and scientists to come to Baghdad. It was said that Queen Zubaydah and her husband, the Khalif Harun, enjoyed a wonderful marriage. They were partners as a married couple, as parents, and as rulers. The currency at the time had both his and her name printed. It was well known that Harun would work with his wife on decisions, but nevertheless, she always let him take credit for it. Queen Zubaydah was a very devout Muslim and never missed a prayer. She hired 100 servant girls to constantly recite Quran throughout the palace, so that wherever you were, the verses of the Quran were echoed around you. She also made Hajj many times, often making the 900-mile trip from Baghdad to Mecca on foot. During one of her pilgrimages, she noticed that there was a water problem in Mecca. Many Muslims performing Hajj could not afford drinking water in areas in Mecca, near Mount Arafat, Mina, and Muzdalifah. Zubaydah was so distressed by seeing this that she brought forth the best engineers to build a canal that provided free water throughout all areas of Mecca. The water was brought from over the mountains for many miles and from the ground using tunnels, pits, and other methods. She was very involved in the whole process, as she herself was educated in the ways of building and planning cities and infrastructure. The entire project took 3 years and cost the equivalent of billions of dollars in our time, which she personally paid from her own money. Not only did she build this water system in Mecca, but also she created a path from Baghdad to Mecca to make it easier to travel to Hajj. There was a path that existed, but it was always fading away because of the desert and weather conditions. So to solve this problem, Zubaydah built up walls that provided shelter to the travelers from the blowing sand, and she also built masajid and hostels along the way. During the Ottoman Empire, the canals were repaired and maintained very well. For over 600 years, they provided the pilgrims with free drinking water. The canals only became discontinued about 30 or 40 years ago. In 1988, King Fahd built a large water desalination plant 100 kilometers from Mecca, which can now accommodate the extremely large number of pilgrims that come each year. However, the canal was not forgotten, and in 2001, the then King Abdullah allocated a committee to preserve it in order to maintain its historic importance. Today, if you go to Mecca, you can still see it. According to Dr. Omar Farooq Abdullah, one of the channels is in an area called Aziziyah, which is outside Mecca towards Mina. Another channel can be seen on the side of Mount Arafat. So what can we learn from this? What do we learn from the story of Queen Zubaydah? Well, there are not as many lessons embedded in this story as there are of women from the prophetic time. But just realizing the historical impact of these Muslim women make us feel that there is so much we don't know and so much to learn. Not to mention, so much to live up to. I have read a lot of stories talking about how Zubaydah never used to one-up her husband and always let him be the man of the house and take credit for public decisions, even though they were made by her. Modern feminism will tell you that she's being weak when she does that, and by doing so she's taking away her own rights, her own equality. However, I disagree. Zubaydah was remembered in history more than her husband, and some historical events like this water canal were done by her and in her name. That is the difference between Islam and modern feminism. You see, in Islam, men and women are equal, but their different roles are recognized. Women don't need to be exactly like men in order to be equal. Zubaydah had her rights as an equal to her husband in every way, but was respectful to his position as the leader of the household. And doing so did not in any way diminish her importance or her status in their relationship or her post as the ruler's wife. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those women that live up to the legacy of the past glorious women. May we be of those who give to others and do for others, for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May we each live legacies insha'Allah and leave behind these legacies one day. You're listening to Radio Islam and this is Living the Legacy. Our first segment today is all about our focus on women, and you can follow us with the hashtag RIYWomen. We've talked about the legacy that Queen Zubaydah bin Ja'far al-Mansur lived and left behind. May Allah be pleased with her. Time for us now to move on to our focus of the program, the main focus being the Quranic appreciation of Surah Ar-Rahman. And today we set out to discover more on the beauty of these verses, inshallah. So, let us begin by turning our intention, inshallah, to where we've stopped off last. And last week we concluded at verse number 16. So we worked at verse 15 and 16. We understood more about the jinn and the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But now it's time for us to move to ayah number 17, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you and I, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ رَبُّ الْمَشْرِقَيْنِ وَرَبُّ الْمَغْرِبَيْنِ. where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in ayah number 17, He is Lord of the two sunrises and Lord of the two sunsets. It's also translated as, He is the master of both easts and the master of both wests. Now there are three instances in the Qur'an where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to رَبُّ الْمَشْرِقَيْنِ وَرَبُّ الْمَغْرِبَيْنِ. This ayah of Surah Ar-Rahman says two easts and two wests. But there is another ayah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the master of all the easts and all of the wests. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the east and the west, He made them one, two and plural. The easiest way to understand is the one, east and west. When we're talking about plural and pairs, that takes more reflection for us to understand. Now, in the horizon, there is the southeast and the northeast. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying two easts, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us two easts, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is as if He is talking about the ends of the east, meaning the entire span of the east and the west. Another way to understand رَبُّ الْمَشْرِقَيْنِ وَرَبُّ الْمَغْرِبَيْنِ is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talking about seasons. Now, people who are involved in the farming industry know that as the seasons go on, the sun shifts. So over the course of the year, there are two easts, and therefore, there are also two wests. Now, in the ayat that came before, that preceded, we spoke about plant life, and that is a function of the seasons of the year. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the master of all seasons. This surah, Surah Ar-Rahman, is trying to make you and I grateful. This is the one of the main themes, the purposes of this surah. But why? Why is Surah Ar-Rahman trying to make you and I grateful? Ever thought about it? So that we are qualified for Allah's mercy. According to Surah Ar-Rahman, we should be appreciating the Qur'an the most. And after that, our appreciation should move to the rising of the sun, the changing of the seasons. And when we see these things, the rising of the sun, the setting of the sun, the appearance of the moon, the twinkling stars, the different seasons throughout the year, these elements of nature should bring gratefulness into our hearts. These ayat are supposed to become a part of how you think about your world. There is not a time where you should not be thinking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning every moment, every given moment of your life, your thought, your focus should be Allah, 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 subhanallah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us the often repeated ayah of Surah Ar-Rahman, فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. So which of the favors of your Lord would you deny? For us to understand it, Allah is asking, then which of the favors, the miracles, powers, feats, gifts and blessings will you both deny and deliberately lie against? We're going to go for our first ad break of the hour. When we return, we continue exploring more of the Quranic gems in Surah Ar-Rahman as we move to ayah number 19. Stay with us.
Syntec, Radio Islam satellite signal provider, has once again changed our decoder settings. Until the 31st of August 2015, your decoder will work on both the old and the new settings. However, as of the 1st of September 2015, your decoder will only work on the new settings. Retuning may be done by either one of the following. Oneself, using the DIY instructions on our website by visiting www.radioislam.org.za. Bringing your decoder in for retuning at the Radio Islam offices, Monday to Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Indonesia. Or phoning our call center during office hours on Monday to Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. on 011-854-7022.
where a consultant will guide you on how to retune your decoder. Please note you must have a TV monitor in order to retune your decoder. Our technical team will be visiting different areas in South Africa. In the Gauteng province on Tuesday, the 11th of August, they will be in Mayfair at 26 Spirit Avenue, the Rescue 76 offices, contact number 011-830-1996. On Wednesday, the 12th of August, they will be in Crosby at 93 Inver Avenue, contact number 011-837-890 or 082-962-7963. On Thursday, the 13th of August, they will be in Bertrams at 58 Kimberley Road, contact number 083-452-4835. On Friday, the 14th of August, they will be in Houghton at Mashiro Furkan, contact number 074-034-7860. The technicians on duty will be Ibrahim Shah, contact number 079-138-4961, Molana Ibrahim Pirali on 074-034-7860 or 011-854-7022, Abdul Haq Panjbhai at 074-786-7860 or Safwan Khan on 061-257-5789.
Ladies, Classic Creation brings you the latest and exclusive range of abayas, kaftans and accessories from the fashion capital of the world. Visit them at their new modern boutique for the ultimate shopping experience at 15 Status Street, Extension 3, Lenasia, or call them on 011-854-4195. That's 011-854-4195. Classic Creations, the ultimate in abayas.
Radio Islam cannot guarantee that any business, insurance or financial institution whose services are advertised are Sharia compliant.
Invest up to 30,000 Rand per year in a Sharia compliant tax-free savings account with 27-4 investment managers. You can now invest in our top performing Sharia compliant unit trusts, knowing that all capital gains and dividends you earn are completely tax-free and have access to your money at any time. Grow your money tax-free by calling us today on 011-442-2464 or visit 274.com. 274 Investment Managers is an authorized financial services provider.
You don't have to go to India to experience exotic spices. Come to Mars Spice. We select the best. We clean the best. You get the best. Ghana, Jiru, Garam Masala, Maschachas Mexican Manchurian Spices. Bring your daddy and your nanny to Mars Spice. Turn your cooking into a fine art. Come visit us at Mars Spice. 33 Concord Place, Lanesia. 011-854-3256. Behind Jamia Masjid.
Radio Islam will be holding its annual general meeting on Sunday, the 30th of August 2015 at the Masjid Salihin Hall, 9:30 a.m. inshallah. Included will be the minutes of the previous AGM, the chairman's address, and the audited financial statements. We hereby request our community to attend.
This is part of a Radio Islam Women's Month feature.
Have you heard of Fatima binti Abdul Qasim Abdurrahman? She was one of the most learned women in Andalus during the late 12th and early 13th centuries. Her engagement with works of legal theory, jurisprudence, as well as mysticism makes it apparent that she was familiar with a wide variety of Islamic sciences. She was the mother of the eminent professor Abu al-Qasim bin al-Taylasan. According to the Andalusi scholar Abu Jafar al-Gharnaqi, she memorized innumerable books under the guidance of her father, including Al-Makki's Tanbih, Al-Quda'is Al-Shihab, Ibn Ubayl Al-Tulaytali's Mukhtasar, all three of which she knew by heart. She also memorized the Quran under the guidance of Abu Abdullah Al-Madwari.
Women's Month on Radio Islam.
Listening to Living the Legacy on Radio Islam International.
On the program today, we're tweeting with the hashtags Quran Gems and the hashtag RIY Women. RIY Women is part of our current focus here at the radio station, and we're sharing with you more about the lives and the legacies lived and left behind by amazing Muslim women, pioneers each in their field. And you can find out more about what we've been discussing on this program and other programs with my colleagues by following the hashtag on Twitter, RIYWomen. On my program today, we covered more about Queen Zubaydah bin Ja'far al-Mansur. We discovered more about the legacies she lived, her attachment to studying and to intellectual discourse. We also learned about the legacies she left behind, that even up until recently, pilgrims, Hujjaj, have been able to benefit from the water canals that she asked and she had set up. And she really was an example and still continues to be an example of productivity and advancement. Zubaydah bin Ja'far al-Mansur, may Allah be pleased with him. We're now discussing, as we were shortly before the break, more about the Quranic appreciation of Surah Ar-Rahman. And before the break, we learned more about what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching you and I in ayat number 17 and 18. We move on to ayah number 19, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, مَرَجَ الْبَحْرَيْنِ يَلْتَقِيَانِ, meaning, He released the two seas meeting side by side. Again, our focus in Surah Ar-Rahman continues to be about gratitude of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, this ayah number 19, مَرَجَ الْبَحْرَيْنِ يَلْتَقِيَانِ, can also be translated as, He combined two bodies of water that crashed together forcefully. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking to you and I about two different bodies of water slamming or coming into each other. And it is again one of the miracles, one of the natural phenomenon of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's earth. But followed by this ayah is the next part, ayah number 20, بَيْنَهُمَا بَرْزَخٌ لَا يَبْقِيَانَ, between them is a barrier, so neither of them transgress. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here is talking about the creation that obeys Allah. No matter how hard the force is, they don't cross the line, these two bodies of water. So why do we? Why are we in denial of favors from Allah? The two bodies of water are completely different, and there is a clear line between them. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never went out to sea, to the ocean, to see this. But Allah is telling him this. Where Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam lived in Mecca, in Medina, was there an ocean? No. So Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not see an ocean, did not see the sea, the ocean. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling him and us about this in the Quran. So these are all from the blessings and the gifts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you've been to Cape Town, to the Cape Point, you've seen the meeting of the seas, it happens there, it happens in Bahrain, in other parts of the world, where there is this natural phenomenon from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ayat are very short here, so we will continue. And again, in ayah 21, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. So which of the favors of your Lord would you deny? Which also is understood as, then which of the miracles, wonders, powers, feats, gifts and blessings will you both deny and deliberately lie against? Then in the ayah that follows, again, this is now a slightly longer ayah, but the previous ones were very short ayat. So in ayah number 22, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, يَخْرُجُ مِنْهُمَا اللُّؤْلُؤُ وَالْمَرْجَانِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that pearls and coral come out of them both. That from both of them emerge lu'lu, pearls, and marjan, coral. Now, minhuma, when the ayah has the word minhuma, what does it mean? Minhuma means both waters. Once there was a Christian missionary, and he wrote against the Quran. And he said that the Quran is wrong because pearls only come out of salt water. But he was wrong because pearls are found in sweet water in many parts of the world. At the depths of the ocean, a pearl is a tiny, light object. Subhanallah. And so Allah is telling us that which of His favors, which of His miracles, which of His blessings will you and I deny? In Surah Ar-Rahman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us over and over again that this is the blessing of Allah. These are the bounties of Allah. Whether we see it with our own eyes, whether we realize it or not, these are blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our lives. If there's anything the Qur'an invites you and I to, it is that the Qur'an is inviting us to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Qur'an is inviting us to be grateful to Allah, to remember Allah, to praise Allah, to live a life of gratitude, such that when we look at our lives and we look at what surrounds us, what is with us every day, we see the sun, we see the moon every day, we see stars, our plants, grass, changing of seasons. But have we become so numbed? Have we become so forgetful and neglectful of these tremendous blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us? Have we forgotten that these blessings are from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and that these blessings can be taken away at any time? What's so important is that we realize that as Allah has given us these blessings, there are lessons for us to learn from it. And as if we've learned in the last few weeks, whether it's the rising of the sun or the setting of the sun, all of these blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are there for a reason. And they are there to remind us of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are there to remind us of the purpose of our lives, to remind us that even by observing nature, we can remember Allah, praise Him, thank Him. And when we live a life of gratitude, it becomes so much easier for us to account for our lives, to watch over ourselves and stay away from sin, and to realize that this life really, yes, it is a test from Allah, and it is also a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to us. May we pass that test. May we realize and acknowledge the blessings in our lives. And again, like to remind you once again, please, 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 try and keep a gratitude journal. If you don't like writing, that's all right. But try and maybe make a note of it mentally. Try and remind yourself. Try and think about it at least every day. Think of three things that you are grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. Try and do this at least for a month, where every day you think of three things that you are grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. And I promise you that once you try that, you will experience such a mindset change, such a shift in the way you think, the way you perceive, accept and understand things in your life. Again, if there's anything Surah Ar-Rahman teaches you and I, it is about gratitude, about shukr to Allah for everything we have. Don't take anything for granted. You know, in the last few days, in this long weekend, we've heard of so many mayyits, so many accidents, so many tragedies, so much of sad news, and we keep saying that these are reminders. But no sooner has the time passed than we forget. No sooner has the time passed than we somehow just slip up, we forget about it, we move on to something else. We keep on running on the wheel of the dunya, like a rat race. And then when it happens to us, there's no time for us to turn back. So while we need to engage in the dunya, we are part of it, we're living in it, but we're living in it to reach the akhirah, to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So be mindful of Him at all times. And one of the greatest instruments or resources or bridges to allow us to live in mindfulness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Qur'an Kareem. That is by reading it, reflecting after understanding its meaning and message, memorizing it and living its lessons. So again, this Ramadan, whatever your Ramadan goal was for the Qur'an, go back to that goal. Think back. What was your promise you made to yourself this Ramadan? What were your goals that you had outlined for yourself? Think back to those goals. Turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and inshallah, you will find the chance to connect your Ramadan Quran goals and apply those goals. Don't wait for next Ramadan. Don't wait for the days of Hajj. Take the message and meaning of Ramadan and allow that to perfume your life. It's 10:45 Central African time here, and we're going to go for our last ad break of the hour. When we return, some inspirational words to share with you.
Centec, Radio Islam satellite signal provider, has once again changed our decoder settings. Until the 31st of August 2015, your decoder will work on both the old and the new settings. However, as of the 1st of September 2015, your decoder will only work on the new settings. Retuning may be done by either one of the following. Oneself, using the DIY instructions on our website by visiting www.radioislam.org.za. Bringing your decoder in for retuning at the Radio Islam offices, Monday to Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Indonesia. Or phoning our call center during office hours on Monday to Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. on 011-854-7022, where a consultant will guide you on how to retune your decoder. Please note you must have a TV monitor in order to retune your decoder. Our team will be visiting different areas across South Africa. On Tuesday, the 11th of August 2015, they will be in Pietermaritzburg at the Mountain Rise Masjid. Contact number 082-478-6434. On Wednesday, the 12th of August, they will be in Port Shepstone at the Albersville Masjid. 039-682-4946 or 061-457-8650. On Thursday, the 13th of August, there will be in Umzinto at the Umzinto Muslim School, Masjid area. Contact number 0399-741-589 or 082-786-6007. On Friday, the 14th of August, there will be in Isipingo at the Isipingo Hills Masjid. Contact number 083-786-7616. Our technicians on duty will be Kasim Varyava, who can be contacted on 076-934-3138. And Ismail Henry on 073-372-0646. Shama Spice World. Sana Super Kernel Low GI Basmati Rice 5 kg, 99.90. Pan Oil 5 liter, 74 rand. Shan Assorted Masala 6 pack of the same variant, 60 rand. Shama Dishwashing Liquid 5 liter, 21 rand. Nur Jahan Basmati Rice 5 kg, 99 rand. Cool baked beans 410 grams, 3 for 22.50. 5 roses, 200 tea bags, 48 rand. Fruit tree juices 1 liter, 12 rand. Contact us on 011-852-5568 or visit us at 50 Gemsbok Street, Extension 2, Lenasia.
There are over 210 million orphans globally. We can't help all of them, but what if we each just helped one? The Al Imdad Foundation now gives you an opportunity to help just one orphan in any of 9 countries. For just 500 rand per month, you can help safeguard the dignity of an orphan by assisting them with basic needs such as food, clothing, shelter, medical care, and education. Our orphan sponsorship program allows you to track the progress of your orphan through regular feedback. Make a difference in the life of an orphan today. Visit alimdad.com or call 0861-786-243 for more information.
The Lenasia Muslim Association, your partner in fulfilling your responsibility of granting your child the greatest gift of basic first teeny education. We urge you not to compromise on this need of your child, which will be Thawabi Jariya for you. The Lenasia Muslim Association invites you to earn Thawabi Jariya by educating a learner at only 250 rand per month or part thereof. A few rands in the LMA tent will keep the wheels turning of serving Mjesa and Masjid.
You are listening to Living the Legacy on Radio Islam International.
It's time for our reflection of the morning together, and I'll be sharing with you something that really resonated with me. It's a piece by Hazrat Mawlana Yunus Patel, rahmatullah alayhi, and it's entitled Reflections of Noor. Once we were walking in Masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at night. My gaze was directed to the ground, and as we walked, I took note of the shine on the tiles of the haram. There is brightness, shine, and sparkle in those tiles, due to the effort of washing, cleaning, and polishing. As a result, whatever is outside and above is reflected onto the tiles. There is the exact likeness, a mirror image. It is as if all the light fittings that are on the outside and high up are now gone into the tiles because of the reflection seen on the tiles. So as you are walking across the tiles, it is as if you are walking on those chandeliers, those light fittings, and even the different architectural designs. The tiles shine so brilliantly and brightly
that they take the complete reflection of the different lights. Giving the thought and the following came to mind. These are tiles, nothing but stone. But when man made an effort on that stone, on that tile, he cleaned it, polished it, and shined it. A total reflection of light and beauty came into that tile. Subhanallah. If stone can, by means of some effort, shine, receive the total reflection of the light outside, then what of the hearts of the Muslim that has been cleaned and purified and which now sparkles with divine love? What will then be the experience when at the Rawda Mubarak, which is filled with nur, when in Riyadul Jannah, which is overflowing with nur, when near the mimbar and mihrab, which is covered with nur, there is nothing but nur in the entire Masjid al-Nabawi? And above all of this is Mustafa, Mujtaba, Habibullah, Nabi al-Rahma, Sayyid al-Mursaleen, Imam al-Muttaqeen, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nurun ala nur. Allah Ta'ala created and blessed us with all these beautiful, shining, bright lights. Subhanallah. If only we made some efforts on our hearts, if only we polished and shined these hearts, then what would be the radiant reflections that would fall onto our hearts and souls when we go and stand there at the Rawda Mubarak? When we stand there with adab and ihtiram, with sincere tawbah and istighfar, with humility and humbleness, it is beyond words to describe the anwar that will fall onto that heart and into that heart. And thereafter the effect of that anwar will become evident in the person's life as well as the lives of those who come into contact with the person. Mawlana Jalaluddin Urumi rahmatullah alayhi's words come to mind and are most apt. When the fragrance, that is the nearness of my beloved Allah, comes into my heart, then the languages of the world fail to describe this. When the brilliant anwar of our visit to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes into our hearts, then the languages of the world prove inadequate in trying to describe that experience and reality. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the reality and the appreciation. Ameen Ya Rabbal Alameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the opportunity and the blessings to travel insha'Allah to Medina Munawwara, for those fortunate ones traveling for the Hajj and with the opportunity to go to Medina Munawwara. May the nur of Medina enter your heart insha'Allah. Ameen. Turning now to your messages, the one says, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And the sister sends us a dua. Ya muqallib al qulub, thabbit qalbi ala deenik. O turner of the hearts, keep my heart firm upon your religion. It's from our listener, Sister Yasmeen. And she shares with us, every heart that aches, Allah soothes. Every tear that falls, Allah catches. Every cut that bleeds, Allah heals. Every sin regretted, Allah forgives. Then which of the bounties of your Lord will you deny? Surah Ar-Rahman. Subhanallah. These are blessings and reminders from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to each and every one of us. MashaAllah. Another message comes to us from Sister Ruqayya. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Love the reflection on the program today. May Allah grant you a safe journey home. Look forward to listening to you live again very soon. Assalamu alaikum. Jazakumullah, Sister Ruqayya. The next message from Sister Fatima. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I began listening to the program of Surah Ar-Rahman, but I was very afraid to memorize the surah. I have such a bad memory upper. I go to the fridge and don't remember what I went there for. And so last week I decided finally it's time for me to memorize Surah Ar-Rahman. I still need to catch up with the rest of the sisters. I'm at only ayah number 5. Make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants me istiqamah and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it easy upon me. Ameen. Inshallah, you will catch up. There's plenty of time. Take your time. Memorize at your own pace. Most importantly, I want you to benefit from the surah. I want you to draw from the lessons and to allow it to impact on your life, inshallah. Ameen. That brings us to the close of another live edition of Living the Legacy this Tuesday morning. We're going to leave you now with a beautiful nasheed. I will be back with you on the first Tuesday of September and to continue a live edition of the program. Until then, please revise what you've memorized of Surah Ar-Rahman. Keep reading it out loud, reading it in your salah. The more you recite, the more you remember, inshallah, ameen. Leave you with one last message from one of our listeners. It's from Sister Samiha from Mauritius. She says, words of inspirations. Assalamu alaikum, Appa. Very motivating program. Jazakumullah khair, my sister. Jazakumullah for the beautiful message and for your support on the program. Alhamdulillah. That brings us to the close of this edition, inshallah. And I look forward to joining you again for another live program in the first week of September. May Allah bless you, increase you in productivity, and may the story of Queen Zubaydah bin Ja'far al-Mansur be an inspiration to us all. Until then, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.